maybe it's the wrong way of thinking.
So the question was asked, how do we view and judge the Jews that remain living in Chutz Laaretz? So I think we should look at this question on a few fronts. Firstly, in general, it's not good to judge. Almost always when we judge, so we're going to find someone lacking. I think it was, what was his name, John Brown? I don't remember. One of the philosophers that said, God does not judge a person till the end of his days. Why should we? It's not true in Judaism. We say God judges us every year and every day, but the ultimate judgment is at the end of our lives. But part of that is very accurate. What are we judging a person for? And ours is not to judge. We judge all the time, but we shouldn't. We should get accustomed to not judging. And almost always when we judge, we're going to find the other person lacking. And if it would end at that, so it would be what they call in Yiddish a halb tzara, a half tzara. But what usually happens is that when we judge and we find the other person lacking, so then it evolves. We start feeling, hey, wait a second. That's not fair. That's not right. This shouldn't be. And the negative feelings towards that person evolve and grow and fester. Negativity has a way of doing that. And that's for sure not right. That's for sure not good. And it could easily reach a point where if someone's going to come and collect money for a Jew in Chutz Laaretz, we'll say, he's in Chutz Laaretz, why isn't he here? I'm going to donate to him? Wait a second. See where we got to? We went from he's doing one thing wrong to why should I even help him? It's very easy to make that leap. It's very easy to focus on that point. We say that Haman, we had a class on the Haman syndrome. Haman has it all. He's top man in the empire. He's running the show. He's the wealthiest person almost in world history. He has a wife that's brilliant and has political power. He has over 100 children. He has friends. What more could a guy have? One thing he doesn't have. One little Jew. It's been decreed he's going to be wiped out. That Jew's going to be annihilated. He won't bow to him. And Haman, what does he say? V'chol ze inenu shoveh li. All this is worthless to me. V'chol et asher ani roet Mordechai Yehudi. Anytime I see Mordechai, that's it. Oh, everything I have is worthless. So that Haman syndrome, the ability to focus on the little negative, something we all have. And when we judge someone, that's why the prohibition against Lashon Hara, the prohibition stems from Lo tisa shem hashav, do not take the name in vain. Why? Because it's in vain. It's a lie. What are we doing when we say Lashon Hara? We're taking one aspect of the person and we're saying, this is the person. When we say Lashon Hara, we're focusing on one negative point as though that were the whole person. That's why it stems from that prohibition, from Lo tisa shem hashav. Partially what happens when we judge is that we start focusing on that. So firstly, we don't have a right to judge. Who are we to judge someone else? We all have a tendency to judge. It's part of being human. But we have to know to control ourselves. It's not our job. Who am I to judge them? But secondly, what it usually evolves to, which is even more detrimental, is when we allow ourselves to focus on that. Now, part of being human is the need to feel special. And that need to feel special can be fed in one of two ways. Either I could bring myself up, or I could put someone else down. I have to be up at the end of the day. When I go to sleep at night, I have to feel special. I am a special person. I am a good person. I'm a unique person. I have something that no one else has. I am an important person. Well, how do I feel that? Either by really being that, or by saying they're wrong. Well, there's a reason why people spend time saying they're wrong, because it's much easier. I don't have to do anything in order to say what's wrong with someone else. And it's one of the ways a person can feel good about himself, but in the long run it doesn't work. We know that. So that's from the first point. from the perspective of judging, so it's something we all have to work on. The second point is, truthfully, there are two approaches to Jews being in Chutz Lartz. On the one hand, we have the mitzvah that every Jew has to come here. we have mitzvah to live here. On the other hand, we can't ignore that the rabbis of the generations did not come here. And even today, you have big rabbis who live there. So you could say they're there for their community. You could. Or you could say, maybe there's more I have to learn about it. And this is a subject that has to be explored. So obviously you've learned by Rav Kaplan, Rav Techtel's approach. And there is an approach of Ema Banim Smicha about that everyone really must be here. It's a big mistake. Everyone should be here. Fine. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But we also have to look with a little bit of respect to all the people that are there and say, before I judge them and before I come out and say, hey, you guys all have to be here and you're all wrong for being there, maybe I have to know more about it. Maybe I have to know more about Rabbi Feinstein's response about the mitzvah coming to Eretz Yisrael, what he calls it a mitzvah kiyumit. Not that it's such a clear, such an easily understood response, but maybe there's more I have to know about it. I'm not saying anyone should leave. I'm not saying anyone's right for being there. I'm just saying that we have to be honest before we're going to judge. If we're going to judge a tremendous number of Jews and say, you're wrong for being there, where's your solidarity? Why don't you care? Before I say that, I better know what I'm talking about. Wait a second. Did I go through Rabbi Feinstein's response? What he says there? Maybe they're all relying on him. He's a big person. We can rely on him. So I think, in all fairness, we don't have a right to judge. Even if we were in a position to judge, we have to have the knowledge to judge. The knowledge of the halacha. And thirdly, even if we found that the halachic conclusion was every Jew has to live here, how many mitzvahs do we look at and we have a hard time doing because, it's hard? You know, were you here when I said the story about the pit I encountered this morning? No. Okay.
Sir, isn't there somewhere you said that if the majority of Jews are in the land of Israel, that many mitzvahs that we start doing?
Okay. But there are other sources. You're right, that's one source. But that doesn't mean it's obligatory to come here. It just means if we're here, then those mitzvot come into effect. It's not so clear they come into effect either. But let's say, because according to the Rambam, for many of those mitzvot, the Jews have to be divided according to their tribes. And it's not enough that they live here. There has to be a prophet that partitions. This is, you're from this tribe, you live here. You're from that tribe, you live there. So it's not enough. But we need bowls and spoons. Daniel, what's everyone going to eat in? Cups, bowls, spoons, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have any.
Did you say that it is mitzvah keumi?
That's, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. That's a good question. That's one of the big questions, what Rabbi Feinstein meant with that. So
that one might not be working. That one might not be working.
Whenever we come to judge someone, we always have to ask ourselves, wait a second, do I live up to what I'm expecting him? Let's think of how many mitzvot we have that cost us even less money than dropping our family and our contacts and doing them, and how weak are we on them? Think about the last time a person had a challenge of saying Lashon Hara or not. What did we gain from it? A person had an option to say something bad about someone or not. What did he gain by saying it? No, nothing, and yet he didn't live up to the test. They have to give up their jobs, give up their lives and everything. Doesn't mean that they do or don't have to do it. I'm not going into that question. If they had to do it, then they have to do it. If they don't, they don't. But before I supposed to judge them, I have to ask myself, do I live up to the test of the equivalent? Chazal taught us, Al tadun et chavecha shetagel limkomo. Do not judge your friend till you reach his place. So the third point is, how could I judge them? I'm not in that position. I have to stop everything. You know, I came to Israel without a wife, without children. So that has its own hardships, as you know, living here all alone. But still not the same as having a job and having a family and having everything set up, a community, and saying, let me leave all that, let me go to Israel and see how it works.
Because Muslims have to tell us, because they're mitzvah at all, unfortunately, because they are not religious. As I was saying, they will be soon. But the other thing is that some of them are so incredibly left wing. There is a group in Holland, they call themselves the Jewish Other Voice, and they started to criticize the governments of Israel, that we are too hard on the Arabs. And when I was in Cedron, I felt like those guys should spend one night here, one night, one night, one night. And then